Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, that's in the Old Testament. You'll find it after 2 Samuel. I'm going to take another pause from the book of Acts this Sunday. Just had felt impressed to preach a sermon because a lot of people in our church right now are in a position or there's something going on in your life and you're kind of asking the question, why am I here? It's a valid question. Some of you have struggles in situations. Some of you are really happy where you are right now, and I encourage you to enjoy that because there's always a rain cloud on the horizon. And I'm not like Johnny Debbie Downer here, but there's all in life will tell you that there's always kind of rain clouds that are on the horizon. So I'd like to turn to the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. And this is a story that Jesus actually talked about early on in his ministry. So let's break it down, and we're going to kind of look at the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. Today, Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the word of the Lord reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed there." Hey, a couple of things I want to kind of break this chapter down into some segments right now. But first thing, I kind of want to point out a few things. This is the first time we ever meet Elijah, and man, he comes on to the scene with a bang. And the backstory is that Israel had a number of godless kings. One of the more godless kings that they had was a dude by the name of Ahab. And y'all may know the story. He married a woman by the name of Jezebel. And Jezebel was a wicked, wicked, wicked woman. I mean, she's just like hard wicked. And she was from a different country that worshipped a Phoenician god by the name of Baal. What you might not know is that Baal is not only a Phoenician god, but Baal was also known as the rain god. And so here we got kind of this backstory going on, and Elijah comes, he comes on up, and he says to Ahab, the king of Israel, hey, it's not going to rain, but unto my word, and what we're going to find out is for about a period of 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Let's kind of just stop there and just meditate on that for just a second, because I want to share something with you. A lot of people right now are sitting there saying, because here's the story, and we've kind of touched on it in previous sermons and prior weeks. Our growth as Christians and as followers of Jesus Christ, sometimes it means we just got to get back on the bike. The bike crashes, and we just got to get up, and we got to keep on moving on. But our story is the story of a journey. It's a story of going from here to there. It's a story of going from a garden in Eden to a finished, resplendent city in the last book of Revelations. It's a story of a people who were dead in sins and trespasses, and through nothing on their own, but through solely the sovereign operation of the Holy Spirit, they were dead people, now they're living people. There were people that couldn't hear, but now there are people that can hear. There were people that blind, but now there are people that can see. And now that we can see, now that we can hear, God wants to take us from here, where we are, to there. The Apostle Paul says, you know, add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. It's a story of growth. But the way that God brings about growth, and we're going to see this in the book of 1 Kings, is God is doing some things in our lives, in all of our lives, really. And one of the things that God is doing in our lives to help us grow is to take away those things that we depend on that are not Him. Because right now, the Israelites, they're worshiping the political system. The Israelites are starting to turn to the Phoenician rain god. The Israelites are starting to worship false gods. And God's wanting to say, hey, let me show you how powerful the rain god is. It ain't raining for 3.5 years. And so according to Elijah the Tishbite, he says, according to my word, it's not going to rain. God is taking away the ability of the people to rely on the political system and on the prevailing philosophy of the day. And I want to just say something to Camp Creek Church. Y'all know that I'm a little more conservative than Attila the Hun. Y'all know that. I make no bones about my Republican leanings. But I want to tell you this. Republican Party is not going to save this nation. It's not. And for our Democratic brethren among us, the Democrats are not going to save this nation. What's going to save this nation is not a political party or a prevailing principle. It's going to be Jesus Christ. And we don't need to be trying to get people into a Republican Party. We need to be trying to get people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because if God has worked in their life, as God has born them of the Spirit, then they have the ability to hear. And we need to call people through the gospel to worship Jesus Christ. Where Elijah the Tishbite, he's like, all right, here's my word. It's not going to rain here. I want you to notice something else. So the word of the Lord comes to Elijah the Tishbite, and Elijah says, it's not going to rain. But Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and I want you to go to the brook of Cherith, because I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The provision for Elijah's life had already been prepared by the Lord. All it really required was some obedience on Elijah's part, some faith on Elijah's part. Hey, I'm not hearing just strange voices. I'm actually hearing the word of the Lord, and I need to obey it. Because Elijah, if he hadn't obeyed it, what would his situation have been? Well, he'd been like every other Israelite. He would have been thirsty. He would have been hungry. It would have been bad. But I want you to notice that the provision of God had already been established through his grace. He didn't have to tell Elijah about this secret place, and he didn't have to command the ravens, but he did. And I want you to know that we have a God of grace like that. You might be divorced and you might not have a husband, but God can still provide for you. You might be struggling with an issue and with a problem right now, but we serve a God whose grace has provisions for you right now. So you don't have to really worry about that. But when we depend, so let me ask you another question here. Why would God actually send a drought? I mean, that's kind of harsh to a primarily agrarian society right here. Why would God cause it not to rain? And when we depend on the wrong things in life, God can take it away because he knows it will ultimately fail us. So what seems harsh on the outside is actually a very kind thing that the Lord is doing right now. He's doing a kind thing because, discipline in your children is never fun. No parent really enjoys it. And no kid enjoys it either. I mean, you know, for me, yeah. Oh, it's painful memories. Okay, but discipline is never fun in the moment. But ultimately, discipline is kind of a merciful act. Well, God is saying, hey, I'm going to cause a drought to come. And he's provided a way for Elijah. But it required some obedience. It's like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I strive to apprehend that for which I am apprehended by Christ. In other words, Christ has saved me. Christ has gotten me a whole bunch of other things, but I'm going to struggle to achieve those things as if it's up to me, even though it's already been given to me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace has given you so many good things. Grace has given you your identity, who you are in Christ, a holy people, a peculiar people to the Lord, a royal, a priesthood unto him. Now act like it. Be the people that God has called you to be. What happens in your life is based on who you are, not what you can achieve. So God has, and it's like in Romans chapter 5, he says, you know, we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. Here we are surrounded by grace. We're positionally in grace and we access it by our faith. So Elijah, he says, Elijah, here's what I want you to do, because the grace has already provided it to you, Elijah. I got some birds that are ready to bring you the bagels and the low fat cream cheese. And I got a brook for you, even though there's not going to be any water in the world, I have provided for you. Elijah, get up and act. And so Elijah gets on up, and he has to go find you from here to there. Our story is a story of people who are called to go from here to there. And so Elijah gets on up, and he heads on out. The sky shut down with no rain for 3.5 years, but God had that stream for Elijah. And maybe somebody is here today having been led to a secret stream. I mean, and I got to be honest, and can I just be real kind of honest with you? I worry about some of you who skip church a lot. Because maybe the word that you needed to hear from the Lord was given on a Sunday that you skipped. And it's not a good thing. Because God is continually feeding his people through his word. And so he says, hey, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go from here to there. Another thing I want you to do, think about this, is why did God bring this drought? Because we have a tendency as Christians sometimes to think of the droughts in our lives as being brought on by Satan. Ah, I did something wrong. I'm being punished, you know. So, and not every drought is caused by Satan. Not every headache is by the devil. Sometimes the headache comes because it's God's way of saying, hey, you're going too fast, too hard, too long, and you're ultimately going to collapse. You need to tone it down a little bit. Not every drought comes from Satan. This particular drought came from the Lord, at the direction of the word of the Lord. So God says, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shut up the heavens. and here's what we're going to do. I want you to go from here to there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You might want to underline that word there. So here's a question. Where is there? Well, there is the place of obedience. Verse 5. So he, Elijah, went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt there by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So Elijah does. God says, I want you to go from here to there. Elijah says, okay, I'm going to go from here to there. Elijah gets on over. Now look what God does. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I mean, can you imagine that? You're just sitting there at 7 o'clock sharp every morning. Here come the ravens, and they got some of the bagels, and they got some of the cinnamon bonbons, and they got it, and they're coming on over to you. And it says in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So one day, the 7 o'clock birds, they don't show up. And here's the thing. Sometimes when we're called to go from here to there, there becomes here. Are you tracking me? Because sometimes you can get really comfortable there. And when you get really comfortable there, there becomes here. And the 7 o'clock birds are not going to show up anymore. Because God's story is not a story of just going from here to there. But when there becomes here, God needs to take you from here to there. It's an ongoing story. And some of you have made great progress in your spiritual life. I've made good progress in my spiritual life. I'm a much better person than I was 10 years ago, but I'm not near close to the person that I need to be. I'm a much better person, and I have a lot more faith than I did 20 years ago, but I'm not even close to the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm a much better person than I was 30 years ago. But I am not to the point where I'm willing to be crucified upside down by the Apostle Paul. At least I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe, maybe, maybe. So my story is a story of going, I might be. I don't know. Maybe. But there's enough doubt in me to say, man, I'm struggling. And so, I had childlike faith 40 years ago. And I've got a more mature faith. But now, at the age of 50, almost 51, I still got a long way to go. And let me tell you the ultimate there that God has taken us to. It's to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And ultimately the there that we're getting to, because we're not going to make it on this side of eternity. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed to be just like him. The disease is going to disappear. The sorrow is going to disappear. There's not going to be any sorrow or sighing. There's not going to be any tears when we get to the ultimate there. But our story is a story of going from here to there. And so Elijah, he's been going on. And sometimes what happens is when you go from here to there and there gets really comfortable, the brook dries up. Because God says, okay, it's time to stretch it just a little bit more. And it's not because you've done anything wrong. But because God says, hey, it's time to move. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him. Brothers and sisters, you might be in a famine right now, but you will never have a famine of the word of God. It is ever present. It is always real. And thanks to being in America, it is always accessible. But the word of the Lord came unto him. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So you dig it? Here's Elijah. Elijah's here. And the Lord says, hey, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over here. I want you to go over there where there's a brook and there's some raven. Elijah's here for a while. And all of a sudden, there becomes here. And the word of the Lord comes to Elijah again after the birds go away and the brooks dry up. And he says, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get over to that city called Zarephath in the region called Sidon. Because there is a widow woman there. So Elijah has to go from here, that used to be there, from here, now he's got to go over there. Now, this is weird. This there is weird. You know why it's weird? Because it's in Gentile country. And it's not just in Gentile country, it is in a cursed country. Because this is what you're going to read when you read the Bible. Genesis chapter 10, there's this dude named Noah. And Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now, after the flood, everybody's kind of hanging out, and Noah gets drunk. And when Noah gets drunk, Ham says, Daddy's drunk. Everybody come and see. And Shem and Japheth says, that's freaky. Who wants to look at their dead naked? So they back up and they cover him up. Noah wakes up and he says, Ham, you're cursed. And you read about this in Genesis chapter 10. And he curses Ham, and in particular, he curses the firstborn of Ham, which is a dude by the name of Canaan. And Canaan's firstborn son is named Sidon. And all the descendants come from the region of Sidon. So I want you to see what God is starting to do in 1 Kings. He's sending a prophet from here to there, to the region of the people that from the time of Noah had been completely cursed. And here's something else you need to know. Jezebel, that wicked woman, as a matter of fact, she's so wicked, she's mentioned in the book of Revelations. But Jezebel, that wicked woman, she was from the country of Sidon. So, and dig this. This is, I mean, God's grace is so amazing. Because for some of you, what from here to there means you need to go from your little God's grace is only good for these group of people right here that do this, that don't smoke, that don't dance, that don't see R-rated movies. God's grace is really good for you. And you need to go, your view of grace needs to go from here to there. Because God's grace is good for prostitutes and pimps and pushers. And God's grace is good for Jews and Muslims and people that don't know and outwardly proclaim Jesus Christ. God's grace is good for them. Because God has a people, and this is Bible. It says his people come from every nation, kindred, tongue, tribe, creed. It's a number so vast that no man can number it. It outnumbers the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. That's the good people of God. And it's not dependent. God's grace is not dependent on anything intrinsic to them. It's not dependent on their ability to behave, on their ability to do good, on the ability to chant some magic mantra. It's not dependent on anything but the goodness of Jesus Christ and his choice of those people who are in an accursed country. Some of y'all need to get your view of grace from here to there. Because God's grace is big. And he says, hey, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. We know from Bible, just a couple of chapters earlier, that there were 7,000 people who had not bowed the knee to Satan. 7,000 godly people that Elijah could have been sent to. And I got to be honest with you, if I'm Elijah, because my faith needs to grow some more. But if I had been Elijah, I'm like, hey, Lord, you know, can I go to an Israelite? Okay, you're going to send me to the pagan country. And you're not just sending me to a pagan country, but you're sending me to the Badlands. You're sending me to the accursed country. Could you at least send me to like the governor of the province or some high mucky muck? I mean, why are you sending me? Of all the people you could send me to take care of me, what's up with the widow thing? I mean, it's not like widows have any resources. And God says, ha ha, you know, I want you to go from here to there because Elijah, here's the unwritten message. Your faith needs to grow. You need to know that when the provisions are not obvious to the eye, that I'm the God that can command the angels of heaven and the inhabitants of earth. None can stay my hand. Hey, look, Elijah, I breathe and worlds are created. I speak and light comes about. Elijah, there's nothing too small for me that I can't handle. There's nothing too big for me that I can't handle. There's nothing too small for me that I can't use. Elijah, I need you to go from here to there. And what does Elijah do? Well, the provision's already there. It's just kind of waiting on the obedience, isn't it? So Elijah gets up and he goes on over to the widow. The grace given to a Gentile woman. And so, you know, God is sending grace to Sidon. And, you know, Elijah gets to Sidon. Are we there yet? God always wants us to grow us and to make us like his son, Jesus Christ. So, verse 9, arise, get thee to the Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, look, let's juxtapose this against the first there. Because in both situations, God's timing was perfect. And his provision was secure. And God has bigger plans. And sometimes when we think, sometimes when you get there, you realize that God's plans are bigger than what you thought. I mean, some of y'all got married because you thought it was going to make you happy, right? No, you get here, and you find out that it's not all about making you happy. Marriage is also about making you the man and woman that God wants you to be. Because your spouse challenges you. Sometimes on a daily basis. And marriage is not about your personal happiness. Marriage really is about becoming the man and the woman that God wants you to be. And God knows who you need more than you know who yourself. You know, you took a job for the money. But God had a bigger plan. That he sent you there to make a change. So let's talk about when here becomes there. God told Elijah, I have a widow for you to feed you, which is weird because if provision's going to be made, you kind of want a rich dude. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Woo, there's some obedience. That's cool. It's really good when the children of God obey the Lord. When you get with the program. That's a good thing. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there. Man, there's that word again. Gathering the sticks, and he called to her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You know, in Luke chapter 4, this is how the Lord actually kicked off his ministry. In Luke chapter 4, I think it's verse 23, it might be verse 25. It's verse 25. He goes into the temple, and you all know the story. He goes into the temple, and he unrolls the scroll. He grabs the scroll of Isaiah, and he unrolls the scroll. And of all the verses that he could have stopped on, he stops on the passage that says, you know, hey, the Lord has called me to free the prisoners and set those that are captive at liberty. The Lord has called me. And then he lists all the wonderful things that God had done. And then it says that he rolls up the scroll. He sat down and he says, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the people that were in the temple started looking around going, hey, isn't that Joseph the carpenter's son? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, say, you know, I know what you're saying. You're saying, physician, heal myself. And you're saying this, but here's what I'm telling you. That in the day of Elijah, there were many widows in Israel, but he was sent to a widow in Sidon. This is the message. This passage, this story right here is the story that Jesus uses to kick off his ministry. In other words, hey, grace has come, my fellow Israelites, and it's far bigger than just the frozen chosen of us few. It's bigger than you can ever imagine. And it's going to people that you can't fathom. So going from here to there, let's talk about from here to there, because God had said, I want you to go because I have commanded a widow woman to take care of thee. And he goes to the city gate. And of all the hundreds of widows that were in Zarephath at the time, the exact widow that was going to take care of Elijah is in the exact place at the exact time, exact moment. Our God is a master builder. He is a master planner. Because I want you to notice something, because right now, and we're going to find this from the story, is that we have a widow in crisis, we have a prophet in crisis, and quite frankly, we got a nation in crisis. But we got the Lord who can take the three crises and bring them together to accomplish his purpose. That's how big our God is right now. And for some of us, going from here to there means that we really need to think about the audience that we're going to. Let me just share something with you on a personal level. You know, sometimes in the Christians, we got haters. You know, they don't like Christians, but sometimes we got haters inside the church too. We got people that will listen to our sermons on the internet, or in particular my sermons on the internet, and they'll listen with a critical eye of trying to criticize. And there is a struggle as a minister that publicizes sermons to think about what other ministers will think about your sermon. I'll be real honest with you. It's a struggle as you put together a sermon to think about what your wife will think about your message. So I want to share something with you that I do. And y'all can lock me away in an insane asylum if you want to. You probably should have done it 15 years ago. Doctrine of Latches, too late. I have this imaginary audience. And this is my imaginary audience. I imagine that there's a woman named Janine, and she's 41 years old, and she's been divorced twice, and her mother tells her that she's a tramp, and she hadn't been to church since she was 12. Or a little boy named Jack, who's 15 years old, and he's smoking weed, and the parents are just freaking out right now. Or this dude named Joe, and these are all fictitious names, but these are people, and a guy by the name of Joe who's addicted to pornography, and he hates it, and he hates himself, and he wants to be free of it. And when I write my sermons, I think I'm preaching to them. Because just like you, they need Jesus. And I do this, and on more than one occasion, I have been, well, you know, you might want to tone it down in this area. You might want to not, you know, go into that area. You might want to make it a little more G-rated. But when I'm true to my calling, I cannot tell you the number of times that people have come up in the congregation, pulled me aside and said, those words I needed. And sometimes are there is an audience of people that good Christian folk wouldn't normally hang around. Don't mitigate the power of the gospel by trying to please the wrong people. Because our gospel is to go to an accursed country. And Elijah goes to an accursed country. And he goes to exactly the widow. And there's nothing about this widow that's going to be speaking anything magic. And he goes on up there. And let me point out something else about getting there, because he goes to the widow, and this is what he says. He arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, and behold, a woman was there, gathering a six, and he called to her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Man, the one widow that was meant to take care of Elijah was there at that time on time. And this is why you want to make sure that you don't get there without God. You don't want to get successful without God. You don't want to build your family without God. You don't want to go to college without God, because only God knows what you need when you get there. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. So not only wants water, he wants a little bit of bread. And the woman, she just can't take it anymore. And sometimes life will push you past the breaking point. We have the nation in crisis. We got the prophet in crisis. We got the woman in crisis. And God brings these crises about to reveal his callings. And let me tell you something. Sometimes callings are forged in the crucible of crisis. And right now, some of you are going through some difficult circumstances. You're in a real crucible, and it feels like the fire is so hot in your life right now. Let me tell you something. Callings are forged in crucibles like that. And I can't tell you how, but I can tell you got a really good God who controls the affairs of men and nations. And here's what he's going on, because you might not realize it. And here's what she says. She says in verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You might not realize it, but the language that's being employed here is a little bit of Z-snapping, head-bobbing. Oh, no, you didn't. Literally, and I'm not trying to be irreverent here, but the language is more like, oh, my God, you are asking me to make you something to eat when all I got is two little sticks and just a little cup of flour so that me and my boy can eat it and die. Oh, no, you didn't. That's the language that's really being employed here. So not only had the Lord sent him to a widow, the Lord had sent him to an unwilling widow, but there's something cool that's going on in the accursed country. Because dig this, this is kind of cool. Because he speaks to her. Because Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Because Elijah knows this. Elijah knows that the same God who can make the brook flow in a drought is the same God who can make the oil flow for this widow. And he knows, because God has bigger plans. You know, originally Elijah's like, I'm going over there so that the widow can make provision for me. When all of a sudden he has a turning point and a realization that says, well, maybe God sent me here not so much so that I could be taken care of, but maybe God sent me here so that the widow could be taken care of. Hey, let me tell you something. Part of the story of you going from here to there, part of that story is that so you can be a blessing to other people. God is sending blessings to you so that he can send blessings through you. God has not just saved you eternally so that it can be, oh, I just love myself, I'm so wonderful, let me work on my inner child. That's not the purpose of your salvation. The purpose of your salvation is to lift up the name of Jesus so that other children of God who don't know Jesus can know Jesus, so that other children of God who are living in an accursed country can come to know the sovereign Lord of the universe and his son, Jesus Christ. And so here Elijah is, and he says, here's what I want you to do, widow woman. Go ahead and do what you said, but make a little bit for me too. He's calling on this woman. And now notice, the provision and the grace of God has already been commanded to work in this woman's life. She just doesn't know it yet. He said, hey woman, I want you to operate in faith and make it for me. And this woman, she's right here right now. She's a little bit bitter about her circumstances. It's all over the language. She's Z-snapping. Her head is bobbing. She's talking almost irreverently to the prophet of God. And God wants to get the widow from here to there. And he calls her to do it through the operation of faith in the mouth of Elijah. And when he sends you, it's not about what he can get to you, but rather what he can give through you. You know, I had to be in that school. I had to be in that class. I had to be in that job. I had to be in that industry. I had to be there in that time. I had to be in that dysfunctional family because I was the person that God had appointed to be the glue that held this dysfunctional family together. I had to be there. And sometimes the crucibles in our life and the crisis in our life is because God knows better than we are. Not for me, but for what God wanted to do for somebody else through me. God is good, and he gets Elijah there because he had something he wanted to do for someone else. You are not, hey, you are not on earth just for yourself. And when I, you know, when I was reading through this and I was noticing this, I see it, and follow me on verse 14 here, because it gets kind of, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is what Elijah's saying. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon this earth. And she went, and she did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. We serve a God who makes final arrangements from the beginning of the story. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. You would think this is the end of the story, that it just kind of ends right here. But all of a sudden, you know, after many days, hey, here's the thing. The widow woman went from here to there. But what happens? After a time period with children of God, there becomes here. Let's look at the rest of the story. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, and there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Okay, we've gone from here to there. And all of a sudden, there gets a little bit comfortable. You know, every day she gets up. Every day she cooks a meal for Elijah. Every day she has enough for her and her son. Things are starting to get a little bit comfortable. And all of a sudden, here's the story. Her son gets sick and dies. And all of a sudden, the Z-snapping comes right back out. Although this time, if you look at the language, it has a little bit more respect. At least she says to Elijah, O thou man of God. At least she says that much. But man, this woman, she's got some deep-seated regret in her life. Because her son dies, and she doesn't blame, oh, I don't know, illness. or maybe something fell on his head. What she says is, are you come here to recall my sin unto remembrance? In other words, my son died because of my sin. How many of y'all right now are kind of troubled with sins in your past? As a matter of fact, you're so troubled, you're almost stymied and paralyzed in your spiritual growth because you're just sitting there saying, oh my goodness, my Lord can't work with something like this. It can't be done. I have sinned too greatly. I've experimented too much. I have uttered words that cannot be forgiven. Hey, let me tell you something. God needs to take you from here to there. Because that's the power of the cross. Jesus' blood is sufficient for all the sins of all the elect family of God. No matter how deep. Hey, David. Killed a man, slept with a wife, killed a man. David, numbered Israel. I mean, all kinds of sins on his background. Apostle Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. He was standing by consenting to the stoning of Stephen. If any of y'all have been, you know, I don't think anybody in this church has like been standing by while somebody has been martyred. Perhaps you're being paralyzed in your sin right now. This woman, her son dies, and the first thing that comes to her mind is, oh my Lord, it's my fault because I'm a sinner. Hey, here's a clue. We're all sinners. And we all deserve to die. We all deserve the judgment of God, but out of his infinite mercy, God says, no, not yet. And dig what Elijah does. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. Hey, let me just pause real quick here. For some of us, what we need to do to get from here to there, for some of us, what we need to do is to stop second guessing ourselves, to stop being tormented by the doubts, to stop being paralyzed by the fear, and just lay it out before God. Confession, good for the soul. Hey, Lord, here's my problem right here. I'm not going to second guess. Oh, why did I even come to this particular widow? There are a dozen other widows I could have called on. I called on her. I'm not going to second guess it anymore. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to doubt you or doubt myself anymore, Lord. I'm going to take the immediate problem that I'm going to have right now, and I'm just going to lay it out before you, God. And here's the problem I got right now. It's this, it's that, it's that, you know, it's this problem right here. And he cried unto the Lord and he said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Even Elijah, the man of God, had doubts. So if you got some doubts right now, don't let that dissuade you from coming to God. And he stretched himself out upon the child three times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. The widow got from here to there. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to miss this right here. Her past sin had been great, and it was the first thing that came about, and she made a connection between her son's death and her past sin. And yet, of all the people in this region, Elijah had been sent to her, of all the people, because God wanted to get her from here to there, and then from here to there. One woman. Hey man, some people don't like the doctrine of election, that God had a people that he chose. A lot of people think that that's not fair. And yet in this story, Elijah, the prophet of God, is sent to one person. Hey, grace is ultimately fair, because let me tell you something. All of humanity deserves hell. All of us. What's not fair is that any of us, you know, I mean, that's just like all of us deserves it. And God says, okay, of all these, I'm going to take this massive number that nobody can count, and it's going to have some people that are pretty good looking. It's going to have some people that aren't good looking. It's going to have some people that have a million Facebook likes. It's going to have some people that don't have any Facebook likes. And I'm going to take these people. It's going to have the college athlete, and it's going to have the high school dropout. It's going to have the good looking person. It's going to have the freaky person. It's going to have the goth, and it's going to have the prostitute. It's going to have the drug addict, and it's going to have the president. It's going to have a pimp, and it's going to, and he says, all these people right here, I'm going to save. And Jesus says, I'm going to die for their sins. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to come into their life. And if the Holy Spirit is in your life right now, by grace we are saved. If the Holy Spirit is in your life right now, you have the chance for obedience, and you can listen, and you can understand, and you can obey, and the blessings of God are awaiting you. Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard the things, and you can't even comprehend the things that God has set aside for you. I mean, that's the word of scripture. So a child of God, what I'm calling on you to, and I don't care what your background is, I'm calling on you to be obedient to the Lord. And the first thing you can do is to follow him in baptism if you haven't done that.